this enhances the hashivus of the benching. You can bench without a cross, but if you bench ala yayin, so it's considered a mochar of the brichas hamad. So the Gemara says that if a person is a righty, he should hold the becher in his right hand. If you're a lefty, you hold the becher in the left hand. So the Gemara has a shayla, small, malashet to sayay ali yamun. When you're benching, you're holding the cup of wine in your right hand, and he's nervous, he's afraid he's going to spill the wine. So is he permitted? I feel like just holding the cup of wine like this, and he's nervous for some reason or another. He's allowed to hold a little bit like this. Basically, he's holding the becher with the right hand, but he's misayay with the left hand.
He has Parkinson's.
Okay. So Tesis wants to know what's so difficult. Usually he has Parkinson's. Tesis wants to know what's the problem, what's so difficult to hold the becher. So Tesis says it's like this year. It's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah. So it's the longest benching in a year. But you have to say Ala Nisim, and you have to say the same, you have to say Yalav Yavah. So Tesis says that's the case that the Gemara is talking about. Such a long benching, so he can't hold his hand straight the whole time, so he's afraid he's going to spill. So the Gemara is not sure what the din is. So that's why it comes out there in the Chumrah. The idea of reciting Ala Nisim in benching after a meal on Chanukah, the Gemara says, in Masechet Shabbos, when they recover the Yontif of Chanukah, the Chachamim made a takana, they have to say Ala Nisim in davening. That was the takana. They never made as part of the takana, but it doesn't say that they included Ala Nisim in benching. So the Gemara has a style of two davening later. What about Ala Nisim in the benching? And Purim, when there's a Chiv Suda. So Mr. Talmud, that was part of the Takanas Chacharim. They should say Ala Nisim in the Brichas HaMazon also. And the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Purim calls them Achlokes Achrenim. If a person benches on Purim and forgot to say Ala Nisim, maybe has to repeat the benching. Just like on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if a person benches and he forgets to say, or he forgets the Ala Yavah, so the Gemara says in Brachos, he has to repeat the benching, because it's a Chiyuv Suda, you're not going to the Suda if you didn't mention the Kedushas HaYom and the benching. So on Purim also, there's a Chiyuv Suda. So the Magen Avraham calls them Achrenim, he says that you're obligated to have to repeat the benching in the event that you forgot to say Ala Nisim on Purim. But on Chanukah, we assume that the suitors that you have on Chanukah are only suitors of Rishus. You're not permitted to have a tainus if a person has yahrzeit, so you don't fast. Or whatever, for whatever other reason a person wants to fast on Chanukah, so the matter is not permissible. That's what the Yom Tov is all about. Kavod Masal, it's a Yom Tov where there has an Issa, has to be a tainus. But even though there's an Issa tainus, it doesn't mean if there's a chiv suda. You can have a snack, you can have a cup of coffee, it doesn't mean you have to have a suda. So since the suitors are only suitors of Rishus, so that's why the Gemara comes to the Maskana, that is, the Chachamim will never kovei a chayva to recite Ala Nisim in the benching. It's a minik, it's only a minik to Rishus, and our minik is that we do say Ala Nisim. But Rav Avraham has an interesting discussion about Shabbos Chanukah. And let's say this Shabbos Chanukah, so he has to concentrate if he's benching by heart. He has to concentrate that he has to say everything. So he has to keep in mind that he has to say Ala Nisim, he has to say Ditzel, he has to say Ala B'Yavai. So what if he, in the benching, let's say on Friday night, Shabbos morning, he says the whole Ala Nisim, and then he worked so hard remembering to say Ala Nisim, when it comes to Ditzel, he forgot all about saying Ditzel. So he finishes the whole benching. So the din requires that he has to bench again a second time, because on Shabbos there's a Chiyuv Suda.
You have to say Ala Nisim again.
So the Magen Avraham raised the question, does he have to say Ala Nisim a second time? He already said Ala Nisim the first time. Is the applicant, if you eat five meals on Chanukah, you have to say Ala Nisim in each one of the meals, each time you say the benching. But here's a Rishayla. He's saying Brichas HaMazon twice after the same meal. That's a Shayla. The whole reciting, the whole requirement to recite Ala Nisim in benching after a meal on Chanukah is only a minig. The Gemara says Rishus, it's optional. So why do we insist that the Davki have to say it's a minig? So that's a Shayla. Does the minig apply in such a case? I'm a chud mitam minig to recite Ala Nisim at Sveitimol in the second benching. But you say you have to do the same meal because he forgot to say and he has to bench his second.
You make a more plug, otherwise you're not going to stop distinguishing that I say it once before or not. You're going to have to remember all these demons and have to say, well, like plug, you have to say it all the time.
Okay, that's the question. So the Magen Avraham thinks not so. Okay. We pass it like you. We pass it like you, sir. You don't pass it like that, Magen Avraham. When Magen Avraham says not so, and he gives a different reason. He says that, how often does it ever come up that a person recites benching a second time after the same meal? And happens every so often. On Shabbos the other, the person forgot to say Yahweh the other. But on Shabbos Chanukah, he already said Allah Nisan in the first benching. He already said Allah Nisan. And he has to bench a second time on the same meal. So you're going to say the minute is Mechayiv, that you have to say Allah Nisan in the second benching, even though you already said in the first benching, after the same meal. So the Mother Abram says it's going to come up once in once in 25 years it's going to come up. Shabbos Chanukah always comes up. There's always at least one Shabbos Chanukah, sometimes there are two. But how often does this kind of a case come up, that you say the minig is mechayev, it'll be optional. To say Allah Nisim benching is optional, but to say that you're obligated to say Allah Nisim is only mitam minig, so to say that the minig is mechayev, the minig can't be mechayev. That's what the Mother Abraham says.
And I'm going to say, when you say Yalav Yor the first time, you have to say Yalav Yor the second time, I'm mechayev to eat because of Yalav Yor.
From also the same shayla, also part of the same shayla. That's exactly the same, because Yalav Yov, you're mechuyev medina to say, Allah Nisim is only a mimic.
What if you say the second time around, you have to say
it. Yeah, you have to exit. If you want to, you can eat another meal. You don't have to bench a second time. The deal is that you're not going to the Suda Shabbos. So you have a berry, either eat another Suda, and then you bench and say, the Chachamim HaMekel is ready to platz, you had all Suda, so the HaMekel, they permit you to say Berachas HaMazon a second time, you don't consider a Berachas HaMazon, we permit you to say benching over a second time, in order to say, to be kaver the Suda as the Suda Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham has a Chiddush, he thinks that since Allah Nisim HaChanukah and benching is only a minig, the binding force to recite Allah Nisim is only Tam Minig, and there's no Minig on a Dabba Shayla Matsu. It's such a far-fetched, unusual case. So the Netziv in his commentary on the Shiltis points out that this idea that the Magen Avraham developed appears in the Rambam and Hilchos Shechita. The Rambam has all of the words of Trefus in Hilchos Shechita, and he lists off there are some diseases in the animal that are considered Trefim in HaTorah. There are some diseases that are considered Trefim in the Rabbanim. And then there's a third category, it's not really treifah, not minatah, not midrabbanan, but the minig is that we treat it like a treifah. So then the Rambam describes some kind of a disease in an animal, some rare, unusual disease. So the Rambam says that this is not a treifah, minatah, it's not midrabbanan, and even if there's a minig to asirah, the minig is not binding, because this is a very rare disease, and there's no minig with a double shayna matzu. In a rare thing that hardly ever comes up, so you can't say that the minig is that we do like this. Like, we're a minig. The whole issue comes up once in 50 years, once in 25 years. So remember, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes Tachlana, we disagree with the Magen Avraham. So remember, Rav Soloveitchik said about that Rambam, Rambam writes that the minig is not binding on a Bevish and a Motzi. So he said that he heard from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, that the Bira and the Rambam is the following. The Rambam has a different understanding regarding the nature of Minhagim. We usually assume, based on the Ran in the Dorim, and the Peyam Beis quotes on the name of the Balei HaTosfos, that the way they interpreted the Gemara, that if a private person has a minig, or the community has a minig, or Klal Yisrael has a minig, or a family has a minig, so minig is binding mitam neder. And there are different kinds of neder. There's a private neder when a person took a neder. Then there's a neder hatzibur, as if the whole community took a neder, the whole Klal Yisrael took a neder, a shvuah. As if the family, we treat all families, if that's one unit, if the family took a shvuah, a neder to observe such a mitzvah chasidus. So we assume that Hagar are binding mitam neder. The Rambam does not seem to learn like that. The Rambam seems to be of the opinion that nidre yochid, if a private person has a minig, it's permissible to observe a minig. What do you mean permissible? It's a shayla from Baal Pesach. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave the 613 mitzvahs. So what are we adding on to the religion? We're doing minhagim with a religious fervor. So are you allowed to observe minhagim? It's a shayla from Baal Pesach. So the Gemara says, Nishkefelach, just like if a person takes a neder, he's obligated to observe the neder, so the neder is only a shayla Baal Pesach. Yerushalmi has such a comment. Lev bayecha masho asra lecha teira, it's not enough that the Torah prohibits you. Meaning chazer and levelis and trefus and all the non-kosher food. What do you have to take a neder and a shmur to prohibit additional things?
Kohelet,
that's another thing. Kohelet, that's another thing. Kohelet, that's another thing. That's about a neder to give donations. Okay. At the Hegdash, that's a neder between the Yasei. And here the Yerushalmi is saying, the Bavli says also like that.
But the Yishalmi has this expression, Lo dayechem asher asu alecha Torah, nish ginuch, but the Torah prohibited. Ashata asu alecha dvar ma'amator, what you have to add on additional prohibitions, just try to live up to what it says in the Torah. So there's a shtickle about Taisir, when you take a nether also. But the Torah says you're obligated to observe the Nidorim, and it's not about Taisir, it's in Hashkaf, it's not right, the Gemara. Hashkaf, it's not right to take any Nidorim or any Shavuos. If you want to abstain from something, so do it on your own, don't take a nether. But still, bottom line, strictly speaking, it's not about Taisir. So that's it. The Gemara says that there's some connection between a minig and a nether. So the Rambam in the Tshuva says the connection is that it's permissible to for a Yochid to observe Minhagim. And just like a neder, strictly speaking, was not a violation of Baltes, so Minhagim are also not in violation of Baltes. But the Rambam doesn't say you're obligated to continue observing your personal private Minhagim. The Rambam seems to hold that the only Minhagim that are binding are Minhagim Hatzibur, Minhagim of the whole community, because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, he lists off all the different Bali Aveire, who don't have a chel, who don't have a chel. There's a movement of Gavarecha, a movement of Halakha, all kinds of different people. He talks about one who's Parish Mubaki Hatzibur. A person who's Parish Mubaki Hatzibur has a special portion in Gehenna. So the Rabbit asks, what did he do, the Parish Mubaki Hatzibur? Did he worship Avodah Zarah? So the Rambam already gave us the Apsak. What's going to be with him? Did he Mechal Shabbos? Does he eat Trefus? What exactly did he do, the Parish Mubaki Hatzibur? So the Rabbi doesn't understand what the Rambam meant by this category of Parish Mubaki Hatzibur. So the Pashtus, we usually assume the Rambam means no. The fellow keeps Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha, doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, doesn't do anything wrong. He just is not Mishtatef with the Tzibur. He doesn't go to the annual dinner, and he doesn't support the dinner journal, and he doesn't go to the shul, and when they have guys at Taimus, he doesn't go along with them, and they have a celebration, he doesn't go along. And Mach Shabbos Fazich, as the usual expression goes. That itself is an aver. One is Parish, Medaki Yatzib is an aver, because the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. Like we say in the Bicha Satar, Shabbach HaBalim Kol HaAmin Asa Lan Es Taimus, so the Torah wasn't given to an individual person. Shabbach HaBalim Kol HaAmin Asa Lan Es Taimus, he gave the Torah to the whole Klal Yisrael as a nation. So every person has to observe Torah mitzvahs as part of Klal Yisrael, not to isolate himself from the tzibah. So that itself constitutes an aver. The one is Parish Mendaki at tzibah. So that's what the Rav said, the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. You get the impression from the Rambam that the only Minhagim that are really binding are Minhagi Hatzibur, because if you're not going to observe the Minhagi Hatzibur, you'll be labeled as a Parish Mendaki at tzibah. Not that they're really obligated to observe the Minhagim, it's not that there's a positive mitzvah to observe it, it's an aveira. If you're not going to observe the Minhagim the way everybody else does, the way the whole community does, that constitutes an issue of Parish Mendaki at tzibah. That's perhaps the reason why the Rambam thinks that it doesn't make sense to recite the Broch on a minig. The reciting of Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says in the end of times, is only a minig. It's not obligatory, not in the Torah, not in the Rabbanan. The Gemara says that Rav was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He went by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he got smicha, and then he went back to Babel. Originally he came from Babel, he went back to Babel to found the yeshiva, Rav Shmuel. They both went back to Babel to found big yeshivas in two different cities. They're both successful. So the Gemara says, the Rav came to Babel, the Babatim didn't know the laws of Shabbos, and the laws of Kashrus, and Taras HaMishpacha, they didn't know anything. The Gemara has an expression, Rav Bika Matzah, the God of Bogeder. When Rav came to Babel, it was like the Wild West. Everything was open, the people weren't observing the Din, they didn't know anything. And he had to introduce a lot of Chumris, in order, new Chumris, in order to get the people back to observe Yiddishkeit. So the Gemara says in the end of time is that one fine day on Rosh Chodesh, the Chazan went up to Dam Vanom and he starts saying Hallel. So Rav says, there they go with them, they don't know anything, they're saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. He was already a mature man, he had already founded his yeshiva. And he never heard of this minute that you say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Now it's in sort of time, but they didn't observe that minute, never heard of it. So he was walking towards the Baal Tefillah to tell him you're making a mistake, and then the Baal Tefillah started skipping, because on Rosh Chodesh we say Chatzi Hallel. So what is he skipping for? So he realized that one kashef harem is the other, oh, it must be that it's a minig. If they would really think that it's Medina, they would have said, oh, well, must be that they have a minig, saying, let them go by them. So you see from the Gemara that the reciting of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minig, it's not obligatory, not to not turn up to Rabbanu. Rav had never heard of it until he came to Babel and he thought that the Balabatim were making a mistake. So because of the fact that reciting of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minig, so there's a machlokes, the Rambam and Tesis, whether he recite the Broche. So the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch and many Sfaradim follow that Psaach, they follow the Rambam's opinion that the Bracha is not recited on the Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, because how can you say Kiddushanu b'mitzvah so v'tzivanu If you're not mechuyev, it's not a mitzvah, neither menatera nor midrabbanan. It's only a minik. So minhagin, you can't say a bracha. And the Ramah, following the Balei HaTosfos, says not so. He says that we pass the halacha that you do recite the bracha on minhagin. Say machlekes by hadlokas meris on erev Yom Kippur. Hadlokas on erev Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says in Pesachim, in Perek Machmash and Agu, is dependent on the minig amokim. Hadlokas on erev on erev Shabbos and erev Yom Kippur. That's a real din. That's a real takanas chacham. But hadlokas on erev and erev Yom Kippur depends on the minig amokim. So the Mechaber writes, he can't say a bracha. How can you say kiddushan of the mitzvah zvon lahamik mer shal Yom Kippurim if it's only a minig and it's not tzivon? And the Ramah says that we follow the Balei HaTosfos that one does recite the bracha over a minig as well. So it makes sense according to this understanding. The Ramah holds, you have to observe minhagi hatzibur, not that there's a mitzvah to follow minhagi hatzibur. It's not a mitzvah. If you won't follow the minhagi hatzibur, you'll be in violation of an avera, perish minhagi hatzibur. So you're doing something in order to avoid violation of an avera. So you don't say a bracha on that. Let's say a person shaves with an electric shaver. And he doesn't want to violate the use of shaving with a razor. A person goes to a kosher restaurant to eat kosher food in order not to violate the other of eating non-kosher food. So he doesn't recite a bracha shekidushan min mitzvos v'tzivano shalol galeach b'tar. He doesn't say shekidushan min mitzvos v'tzivano shalol lechol macholos asuris. You don't recite a bracha when you're about to do something that's going to avoid violation of an aver. So the Rambam holds, we understand, the Rambam holds, it doesn't make sense to recite a bracha before one observes a minog, because it's not really a mitzvah. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah by observing the minog. You're avoiding violation of the aver of Parish Mendaki Atzibah.
What is the definition of Sibah?
Either a community or
that. I gave them the same thing. You have one
sibul,
they have 1 minute, they have
another sibul,
different
minute.
How do you follow?
The group that he belongs to.
You have to say about Erev Pesach, if you work on certain days, it depends where you're coming from. If you're coming to a place where the minig is not to work, then you can't work, and that's the minig of the makom.
Okay, it depends the shul, or the community where he happens to be right now. That's not that he comes from another community, that's the minig there. But his Parish Mendaki Atzibah, if he's over here, let him daven in a different minyan. Let him join a different group. Let's say sometimes an Ashkenazi marries into a Sephardi family, and he becomes a Sephardi. Or a Sephardi marries into an Ashkenazi, and now they become Ashkenazi. So it doesn't matter. They used to eat kitnir, so they didn't eat kitnir, it doesn't make a difference. Now they belong to a different kehillah. They belong to a different tzibah, so they have to follow the Meravim of that tzibah. That's what the Mishnah is saying, so if he joins a new tzibah, so the minhagim of that tzibur abani, because it'll be punishment of that tzibur over there. So that's what Moshe Soloveitchik explained from the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, and the Tshuvas HaRambam would appear that his opinion is that it's not that minhagim abani. If you violate a minhag tzibur, that's a violation of punishment of that tzibur. He's showing that he doesn't care to go along with the tzibur. So then we understand the Rambam very well. He says a minhag, there's no minhag that should be binding if it's a dom shein amatzi. Disease on an animal is going to come up once every 25 years. Like Rav Shana Rogos, that's not noticeable that he's perished Mendaki Atzibah. Who's going to remember what we did 25 years ago when the same disease came up? It wasn't such a big cause to leper in the slaughterhouse, but it was written up in all the newspapers. So that's probably what the Magen Avraham means. He says the same thing. How often does it happen that you have to bench a second time after the same meal? That happens every so often. Shabbos Yom, that person forgets to say, we'll say Yalav Yavai. And how often does it happen on Chanukah that he's saying a benching the second time after the same meal, and he already said Al Anisim the first time, and we're discussing whether he's Mukhif to say Al Anisim in the second Bechus HaMazon that he says on the same meal? Doesn't happen so often. So that's what the Magen Avraham is saying. That's along the lines of the Rambam, but the meaning is not binding on a Dov Shein Amotzi. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Haskamas Achrenim is against this Magen Avraham. Why so? Why do they disagree? So the Pashto says because we don't follow that Rambam's opinion regarding Minhagim. In Shulchan Aruch in Yeruday, the beginning of the third Chinuch Yeruday, there's all Siman Reish Yudalid, starts with Hilchos Shavuos. Hilchos Shavuos, Hilchos Nedarim. So we follow, in Shulchan Aruch, they follow the principle as developed by the Ran and the Rem of the Balei HaTosfos, that there's a connection between a minig and a neder, not like the Rambam learns, that just like a neder, strictly speaking, is not a violation of HaTosfos, so you're permitted to observe minhagim. That's not a violation of HaTosfos. No, a minig is binding mitam neder. If a person would have taken a neder, let's by mitzvah, I'm going to get up in the morning before Shabbos alone, daf yomi every day, So such a neder is bani. A person takes a neder, he pledges to give tzedakah, he pledges to do any dvar mitzvah. So it's obligatory, nidri mitzvah binding. And usually a neder requires lepati b'sasan, you have to pronounce it with your lips. But if it's a neder for hegdish, then the Gemara says it's chal b'leiv. If it's a neder to fast the tainus, it's also chal b'leiv. A neder to give tzedakah, it's also chal b'leiv. So we are machmir, midrabbanon, that any midas chasidus, any minik taiv, if you take such a neder b'leiv, so it's binding. So minik, even though he never said levati b'susan, he never said, even if I accept it for myself as a neder or a shvua, that I'm always going to get up and mind daf yemi. No, he just does it three times in a row. And it seems that he's indicating, the mashmos is that he's indicating that he's interested in this style of midas chasidus. So that becomes binding mitam midrabbanan. The Gemara says a neder is binding mitam, a minig is binding mitam. If it's a minig taiv, it's a minig shtus, it's not binding. If it's a minig taiv in a dry mitzvah, then it's binding mitam neder midrabbanan. Minatera, and neder you have to say levati b'svasai. And the exceptions to the rule minatera are by hegdish it's chal b'leiv, and by tainus it's chal b'leiv, and by tzedakah. But any midas chasidus, we don't say that it's all included in hegdish and it's chal b'leiv. So that part, there's a chumra midrabbanan, the Gemara says that minig is binding mitam neder, that's a chumra midrabbanan. We say any minig taiv, any minis chasidus, so such a neder is chal b'leiv. But bottom line, we assume nidri ha-yochad are also binding, not only nidri ha-tzibu because the perish midak ha-tzibu, nidri ha-yochad are also binding.
Why would that be called a minig shtus? If it's a minig yochad, could that be considered a minig shtus?
No.
He decides for himself, he can adopt any type of minig for himself.
No, so I didn't say that by definition every minig ha-yochad
is
a minig
shtus. When could that be a minig shtus by a yochad? It can't be.
Why not? We have to judge each minig. Some in Hagim make sense and some in Hagim are silly. The Minhagim have to be determined by the Rabbanim whether they are acceptable or not.
He's talking about himself something, it doesn't become a minig shtus.
Sometimes a person adopts a private minig, it's beautiful, it's marvelous, and sometimes the Tzibur adopts Minhagim that are minig shtus. It's not.
But I mean, what can be a neder if my father, let's say, had a certain minute?
Yeah.
Okay? I follow this minute because of my father.
Okay.
He makes a neder, do I have to follow his neder?
No.
So it cannot be a neder for me.
So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There is a concept of neder hatzibur. There is such a concept. How do we know that there's such a concept? The pasuk says in Shir Hashem, Ishbati Eskim Lois Mishalai Mitteirah in Teirah Saravah Architechbots. That passage appears three times in Shir Hashir. So the Gemara, the end of Ksubas, talks about the Shalosh Shvuas. Ishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shlom had the Jewish people take three Shvuas. I wasn't there, you weren't there. My grandparents never told me, they were never there. Shlomo HaMelech records this in Shir Hashir. So someone who gave a Shvuah before the days of Shlomo HaMelech, we don't know when, who, where, said, why is it binding on me? I didn't take the shvuah, why is it binding on me? The Gemara sounds as if the shvuah that was taken before the days of Shlomo HaMelech is binding on everybody today. So you see from that Gemara that there are two types of the shvuah. There's a shvuah sayachid. If I take the shvuah, I'm chayiv. You take the shvuah, you're chayiv. My shvuah is not binding on you, your shvuah is not binding on me. And then there's the concept of shvuah satzibur. If the tzibur takes a shvuah, so whoever is a member of that tzibur is obligated to observe that shvuah. So what kind of a tzibur? So the Gemara talks about a minig of a family. This family, the Gemara in Mokim Shinov, in the middle of Pesachim, has that a certain family had a minig, that Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, they would never go traveling by boat, they were afraid not to look for trouble. Certain families have a minig, after 12 o'clock on Friday, they go home. Even if it's a long Friday, they leave the office at 12 o'clock. So if you have a minig ha-mishpacha, so whoever identifies with that mishpacha, sometimes one of the great-grandchildren of the family is going to marry into a Spardish mishpacha, and he's going to move away from the whole family. He's not going to follow any of the family monogamy. So he's no longer a member of the mishpacha. But whoever wants to identify with this mishpacha, so he's part of that tzibur that took this neder. Or if you have a kehillah, or if you have Gans Klal Yisrael. So that's called the shvuas tzibur. The different sizes of tzibur. Sometimes the tzibur is, the Rama talks about minik kol Yisrael, minik pashut b'chol Yisrael. Sometimes you have a minik akela, sometimes you have a minik hamishpacha. So this is a shvuas tzibur.
Minik is like a din. What does that mean? The minik is like a din. It seems it's more than just a minik. It seems that it comes, comfortable in the halacha.
Taisus quotes that expression, that many Yisrael Tehri, that Minhagim Abayin, the halacha says Minhagim Abayin. That's the Gemara says, the way the Balei HaTaisus learns the Gemara. The Rambam did not learn the Gemara like that. The Rambam held that if you violate a Minhag HaTzibah, it's perish Midak HaTzibah. But Taisus held that so. Minhagim Abayin, Mitam Neder, Midir Abayin. That's a Gemara. If a person observes a Minhag Tehri, the Bani Mitam Neder, Midir Abayin. So Taisus has that lotion. But Minig Yisrael Tehri. So Tesis Lishitasam has the opinion that you can recite the bracha, you should recite a bracha before observing Minhagim, because the Minig is a positive fulfillment, not just something negative like shaving with an electric shaver, not to violate the Yisrael of Tiglachas Bitar. Not like where the Rambam says you don't want to violate Parish Medak Yatsiva. No, he's fulfilling something positive, Midri Mitzvah. As a person, the two kinds of Nidorim also. Person takes a Nidor, he's not going to go to that Bar Mitzvah. He's not going to go to that Chasana. So that's not a Mitzvah. He shouldn't have taken a Nidor in the first place, even if he doesn't want to go. So when he doesn't violate his Shvuah, the Nidor, he doesn't go to the Bar Mitzvah, he doesn't go to the family wedding, so he hasn't violated Mitzvah Sechet Tishmer. He hasn't violated Bar Yachad. But you don't say he has a Mitzvah Saseh. But if a person, let's say, pledges to give stuff and never look by mitzvah, that's a kiyum asay. That's a mitzvah asay. The Ramban, in fact, when we say that mitzvahs, counted as two distinct mitzvahs. He says one mitzvah is a mitzvah asay, mitzvah sechet tishmer yasisa, kasher adarta l'ashem akech nekona, kasher dibayte b'ticho. Midway mitzvah is a mitzvah, it's a kiyum mitzvah. And then the other pasuk in Parshas Matos, where it says, that's an Isser asay. That's not a mitzvah asay. If the person took a neder not to attend the family function, not to attend the zayin with someone, not to daven a mishul or whatever, not to get an aliyah, not to give money to tzedakah, so the neder is binding. Okay, not allowed to violate the neder, but he doesn't get reward for having taken the neder. He's not punished if he doesn't violate the neder. So he didn't violate the asay. But if he observes the neder, it's not a kiyum mitzvah. It's an Isser asay. But if it's midway mitzvah, then it's called a kiyum asay. Not only does he get reward for doing it stuff, he gets reward for having taken the neder in order to give to meet him up to give it stuff. So that's what Taisus says, that I'm in Hodim, which are binding with Tam Neder, that's like midway mitzvah, that's a kiyum asay. So it makes sense to recite a bracha.
So according to Taisus, if let's say a person eats good bracha, so then he decides to change his mind, we need a Torah to Durham on that. What about the Rambam? He decided he wanted to change his mind.
Which way? A person has a minute not to eat the bread. It depends where did the minute come from. If in the middle of nowhere, yesh v'yayin, I decide I want to observe the minute of Kibbutz. So I'm the Bala minute, so I can say, I can make a thousand bucks. If I come from a Hasidish family where my grandparents, my great grandparents never make Kibbutz, so I'm not the Bala to make the Hataras Nadar. So I'm stuck unless I decide I don't want to be a chassid, I want to ignore this old tradition, I want to join the Mishnagrim, I want to convert and join the Svartim or whatever. I don't want to belong to this Kehillah anymore. So once I no longer identify with that Kehillah, okay, but still I'm still bothering this Chassid, I'm still shuffling and bothering with the Gartel, I still have some of the Hasidish things that I'm carrying over. So then I still am identifying with that Kehillah. So I can't even be not the Neder. I'm not the Talibas. I'm not the one who took the Neder. The Neder was taken by the whole family, or by the whole Kehillah. That's the question. Whether Gibrox is a meaning of Kehillah, Gibrox is a meaning of Mishpachas, you got to determine which it is. But if the private person didn't reject that whole tradition, sometimes you have Hasidim who decide no more Hasidis. They no longer want to identify with Hasidis. They identify with other groups. Okay, so then they don't need a Hataras Nadar. They're not part of that Kehillah anymore. Because when they do identify with all the other family traditions, then they probably can't even make a Hataras Nadar if they want to. Unless the person on his own decided, it's not his family meeting, he decides on his own, he wants to observe a mini of Gibbutz. So then he's a Bailam to be Matan
Nadar.
But
according to Rama, would have to be Matan Nadar? According to Taisus, Of course it's a din.
So then he can decide whatever he wants to. He can decide unless it's a minute alcohol, unless the whole kehillah does make it broke, so he's going to do faked. So that's going to be punished. Right, the whole shulchan aruch sets it up. A minig is by minig tam neder, and if you want to break the minig, you have to have a person, and the whole thing is according to Taisus. The Rambam doesn't agree with the whole simon reishu dalet. off thus that the whole sinner is against the Yama.
But the minute
you don't get this to Bakul and Kamal Habor, you make that term.
Yeah.
So you said in Kamal Habor by a person's term, he's a Vatil, any Kabbalah Belay, any Hanhoga, they should not be admitted. So that's a question whether that's valid or not. Which one is it? Yeah. So, the Gemara Dorm has such a deal on that base, that a person can make a declaration in the beginning of the year, that's why we say, person can make a declaration in the beginning of the year, that whatever the Dorm I'll take in the course of the year should be null and void, there shouldn't be binding at all. So that's what we do, we make such a declaration, Chutzman did it, and on that Gemara there's a big Machlekes of Rishon, and when does it help? So the Rambam's opinion is, so because of the Machlekes, so whenever we lie on that declaration that we make in the beginning of the year. So the Rambam's opinion is, that that declaration only helps if at the time that the person took the neder, he forgot all about his declaration. And after he takes the neder, he backs out, he has charata. So he can always have charata, take any neder, make any kinyon, he can back out after the neder. So you take a neder, you can always back out after the neder. But you have to say the prayer. I changed my mind. I take a neder and I say the prayer. I changed my mind after the neder. So if he made a declaration in the beginning of the year, and after the neder, after the neder, he backs out, so then it's a good charata. Yet by us, we don't have charata after the neder after we took the neder. So going to the Rambam, we can't rely on the declaration that we made in the beginning of the year. So that's why we won't do that. We do it lechum, maybe it'll help. We make a declaration, meidah. We may say, even though meisa meidah b'fnechem, we make a mysterious meidah in advance, that any meidah I take shouldn't be binding. But then with the self, we don't rely on that, because of the Rambam and other Rishonim hold that only applies in very rare instances. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this cloud from the Gemara, that on Purim there is a Chiyuv Suda, and Chanukah there is no Chiyuv Suda. All the Sudas that Yama Chanukah are only Sudas Rishus. So then the Ramah quotes in the Maharam Rutenberg an interesting comment. There is a Gemara in Pesachim, Adach Mentes. The Gemara says that a Chasen is a Sudas Mitzvah. Sheva Brachas is a Sudas Mitzvah. So the Gemara says it's only a Sudas Mitzvah if the Chasen is a Talmud Chacham. If the Chasen is Nishin, Talmud Chacham is not a Sudas Mitzvah. It's a strange Gemara, what the mitzvah to have children is only Tamir Chachamim, and not Tamir Chachamim don't have a mitzvah period, really? So finally the answer is, no, there's a mitzvah period on everybody, but you don't throw a party just because you're fulfilling the mitzvah period of you throw a party, apparently, we covered Kabbalah Satorah. That's how the Gemara says that on Shavuos, everybody agrees there is a Machlokes HaTaraim, exactly how elaborate the meals have to be on Pesach and Sukkot. But on Shavuos, Tatzeres, Hakol Moedim, everybody, all the time, Rav Nezer, Rav Yishua, and Machlokes, and Pesach, and Sukkot, but on Shavuos, everybody agrees you have to have elaborate meals, because it's Yom Shemitah Batera. The Kabbalah Kabbalah Satorah, you have to throw an elaborate party, to have a fancy meal. So apparently, when a person gets married, that per se is not cause to celebrate by having a party. So he got married. He fulfilled the mitzvah to get married. He's going to fulfill another mitzvah to have children. Good for him. Every time, let's say when a couple has a son and a daughter, and they fulfill the mitzvah already, so they throw a party. No. If they want to have, they can make a sudas agdara. But there's no chiyuv to make a sudas mitzvah just because you now fulfill the mitzvah of period already, but you have a son and a daughter. Because apparently the Gemara seems that the reason why when the Talmud Chacham gets married it's a Sudas Mitzvah, because the Gemara says in Yevamos, the end of Havar Yedimtai, that a Shari B'nai Torah, when a person is single, is really Shari B'nai Isha, when a person is single, a Shari B'nai Torah. He really can't succeed in learning so well. As much learning as he did when he was single, after he's going to get married, he's going to be more Meyushev, and he'll be able to succeed more in learning. So when a Talmud Chacham gets married, it's like it's a new Kabbalah Satorah. He's going, if he's in Talmud Chacham and he plans to continue learning, not that he gets married, he's going to go get a job, he's going to stop learning. If he's going to continue to learn after the Chasaneh, so then we assume the fact that he's married is going to enhance his ability to learn. So the reason why it's a Sudas Mitzvah is because we're celebrating the fact that now he's going to be learning more than he was learning before. So that's what the Gemara says, that's only if he's a Talmud Chacham and he plans to continue learning for a while, so there's going to be an enhancement in his learning. If he's not a Talmud Chacham, or he is, but he doesn't plan to spend that much time in learning, he's going to be learning less. So then the Gemara says, strictly speaking, it's a Sudas Rishus. So all of the weddings, all the meals are Sudas Rishus, unless it's a Talmud Chacham. So the Maharam Rutenberg made a comment that they called Mishulchan Aruch. If you sing Shiras v'Sishbacha, it's in the middle of the Chasana, or the Sherev Bracha, so you convert it into a Siddhas Mitzvah by virtue of the fact that you make it into a Siddhas Haidoya. When a person wants to celebrate his 50th wedding anniversary, someone was sick and he got better, he heard some Adesu Asurim, so he wants to make a Siddhas Haidoya. Graduate college, graduate high school, graduate kindergarten, whatever. Whatever is a milestone in whoever's life it is, each person kalecha de'echa kefi hasagosei. Everyone has their own hasagos as what's considered a milestone of their lives. So they want to express their gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you express your gratitude and you have it in the middle of the Suda, the Gemara has an expression in the end of Masechus Tainus. You can only say hello. Al nefesh seveya, what's the expression in Hebrew? Al keres meleya v'nefesh seveya, on a full belly. After you have a good meal, then you can express your gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Siddhas HaDayah is all about. You have the meal, and in the middle of the meal, when the person is in a good mood, and he's happy, and he's not hungry, so he can express his gratitude. So that's the Lashon HaGemara, Eilam Halo Elo Al Keres Meleo Ubenefesh Seveya. So that's what the Siddhas HaDayah is about. So the Maharam Lukmirk says, if you have an Am Haaretz getting married, so it's strictly speaking, Yudina, the Gemara is a Siddhas HaRishus, but we have the ability to convert it into a Siddhas Mitzvah. If we're going to sing Shiris HaSishbach, Shiris HaSishbach doesn't mean you sing Dalam Malach HaSoch HaDikayim, Arim V'Yagefen, Dini V'Yagefen. It means you sing Shiris HaSishbach, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that they found each other, that they're happy. We express our gratitude. You say you express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just that it's a happy occasion and everybody's dancing and singing. It depends what songs. If you sing Dalam Malach HaSoch HaDikayim, it has nothing to do with the Siddhas HaDayah. You have to convert it into a Siddhas HaDayah. So that's what the Ramah quotes, the same Maharam Rukmerk says, that the Siddhas that you eat on Chanukah, Siddhas HaRishus, and that's why the whole reciting of Allah Nisim and Benchir HaChanukah is only a meaning, it's not obligatory Medina, but if you recite Shiras HaSishbachas in the middle of the Siddhas HaChanukah, you say Allah Nisim, or you say something like that, you want to make it to Allah. You say Piyutim that express our gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshuas that he gave us, so then you convert the Siddhas Chanukah into Siddhas HaDayah, so then it becomes a Siddhas Mitzvah. Per se, it's not a Siddhas
Mitzvah.
Rav Torah,
the same thing.
Rav Torah, I don't think so. I don't think it's just Siddhas
HaDayah. I was under the impression that by Mitzvah, if the child says Rav Torah, becomes a Siddhas Mitzvah.
The Gemara says that Gemara says Rav Yosef was a Sagi Nor, he was blind. And there's a machlokes hakaron where the blind person is obligated to fulfill all the mitzvahs and that. So originally Rabbi Yosef thought that if a blind person is put them in our mitzvahs and he volunteers it anyway, so he thought that he's going to get more skar for volunteering it. So he thought, he hopes the din is like Rabbi Yudah, but as soon as put them in our mitzvahs, he's going to get more reward because he's doing all the mitzvahs voluntarily. As an only mitzvah. So then they told him that it's not so. That we assume that God HaMitzvahs and Mishayim Mitzvahs, the one who's obligated to perform the mitzvahs gets more reward than the one who's not obligated. So he said he hopes the din is not like Rav Yudah. He says, and if they'll establish, if they'll demonstrate to him that the din is not like Rav Yudah, and it'll come out that he's believing in the mitzvah, then he's gonna make a party because he's Mitzvahs. So it's based on that Gemara that the Marshal writes in Yom Sheshlomo, Bava Kama, that based on his Gemara, we assume that as soon as by mitzvah, is a Siddhas Mitzvah because the child now becomes a Mitzvah. He was wearing tefillin already before, he was keeping Shabbos before, he was observing all the mitzvahs before also. But now the change is that he just became a Mitzvah. So when a person becomes a Mitzvah, so the Gemara considers that a Shtikal Siddhas Mitzvah. So that's what it says in the Paskin. You have to demonstrate somehow that this Siddha relates to the fact that he's a Mitzvah. So if you have it, both by Yom on the day of his bar mitzvah, so even if he doesn't say it right there, everybody understands he just became a mitzvah v'yaseh today. But if it's for some reason or another, all the other kids are having their bar mitzvahs there, and he has to postpone it for a week or a month or whatever, he has to have it some later time, so then it'll only be noticeable, it'll only be obvious that it's the purpose of the Suda is that he just became a Tzuli Yosef, but you're going to say Divitur. But it's not so much that whenever you have a Suda and you say Divitur, you make it into a Suda's Mitzvah. That's another thing the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. If you have people 8 food. As if they ate the kruvus of the zar. See, the chameisim means the kruvus of the zar. That's a different thing. You should always have divrei Torah. But here, the purpose of the bar mitzvah by saying the divrei Torah is in order that it should become nikar, it should be obvious that it's l'shem kach, that it just became a mitzvah of
Yosef. Following this reasoning, wouldn't it be make more sense to say the name of the kill first and then say all mitzvah? So you know that you recite everything that happened on Hanukkah, and then you say all mitzvah, and you're thanking your Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Both in the Brichas Amos and in the Shemona Esrei, Al Anisim is a continuation of what we start. Let's say the benching is saying, Merda Lecha, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Chalta Lava, say, Rehat Chem Mitzvah Vechava. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that, and we thank Him for the food, and we thank Him for Bris, and Torah, and Hukim, and various things. Then He says, Al Anisim Al Apuk, and we thank Him for Anisim and Yeshua's, namely that this season of the year, we may not deserve Ben Yechana. It's in the Hemshech of what we started in the Brichas Amos. We say in the Shemona Esrei, we say Mardim Anachnulach, and then we say, do we have a city here? And then we say in the middle of Vaidim, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mardim Lechona Sapeti Him Asecha, Al Chayim Hamsurim Biyadach, we thank you for our lives that we're still in the Baal Mishmasein Ab Kudoslach. Baal Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, Al Nisecha Vetev Vesecha, Shebecholais on the kindness and on the wonderful things you do, Erev Avekev Etzeharayim. So then the Rambam has, Yala Nisim, Yala Purkan. We don't have it like that. We have already the summation. In summation, our Teik, Kelechol Rachamecha, and then all of a sudden we go back. So the Rambam says that that's a misprint. According to the Rambam, she says, Yala Nisim, Yala Purkan, right after Erev Avekev Etzeharayim. And everything is with Avav. It's not Ala Nisim in the middle of Erev. It should be. We thank you, Al Chayeinu, Al Mishmaseinu, Al Nisecha, Al Niflesecha, Al Nisecha, Al Nisim, Al Apurkan. And then we elaborate which Nisim we're talking about, Bazman Azeh, what specific Nisim. So it's a Hemshech from Yifro, exactly the same thing. It's a Hemshech from Yifro. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that on Hilchos Brichos Amazon, it says when a person benches on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, like this coming Shabbos, so you have to mention in the Brichos Amazon, we'd say, and Yalav Yavis, so which one do you say first? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you recite first, we'd say, and then you say Yalav Yavis. Why is that? Because Tadav Shein HaTadav, Tadav Shein Shabbos comes over 50 times a year, and Rosh Chodesh comes 12 times a year, so Tadav Shein HaTadav, Tadav Shein HaTadav, you should recite first, we'd say, and then say Yalav Yavis. What if the person made a mistake and he said first Yalav Yavis? And then he says, we'd say, yes, it's up to the Yevrid, he's Yetzir, it's not Ma'akib, but the Yevrid, if he said, Tarev Shein, or Tarev Tarev Tarev, is only a Kedim, and it's not Ma'akib, but the Yevrid. Shaila is, what if the person starts saying, in the Brichas HaMazon, L'kei, you say, Yala, the Yevrid, Yagia, the Yevrid, Yeratza, and then he realized, yeah, I forgot to say, it's saying. So what should he do? Do you say, look, he already started Yala, the Yevrid, so let me finish Yala, the Yevrid. And he say, no. That the halacha requires Tana Vishenika, if he would have already finished the whole Yalav Yavoi. So Shenge ended. So you don't tell him, say it, say, then say Yalav Yavoi a second time. And when he said Yalav Yavoi, but if he didn't finish yet, then maybe we should tell him to stop where he is now. The Stami should finish the sentence, let's say, and says, okay, we say Yalav Yavoi. Then he realizes that he said the wrong thing. So just stop there, Yalav Yavoi. Then you go back to say it, say, it doesn't make any sense. So the Stami should at least finish the sentence. Yalav Yavoi, you're giving your Rabbi Yatsu Zichamele Figbeleinu. Such, at least finish a sentence. So that's the Shaila. If you finish that sentence, and if you already said, if you went to the table, the Chenel Chesedach, the Chenel Shalom, the Yom Rosh, the Chodesh Hazeh, then you realize, hey, I was supposed to say the Sefer. So strictly speaking, he was ready to say the whole Yalav Yavoi. He already said the Yom Rosh, the Chodesh Hazeh, or the Yom Chag HaMatz, whatever it is, Shabbos Chalamoid, or Shabbos Yom Tov Hazeh. If he already said the Haskar of the Yom, so he was already finished, even though he didn't say Zachero Shailo Kele for the first time, but he already said Yalav Yavoi Zechamele for the Yom Rosh, the Yom Rosh, the Chodesh Hazeh. So he's ready to say the whole Yalav Yavoi already. So no one's going to say that you should go back to say it, say then say Yalav Yavoi again a second. That was Yotzi already. The Shaila is, if he says, okay, we say Yalav Yavoi Agiya, so finish the sentence, Chodesh, Yizach is Zuchanel, Efik Benenu, okay. So should he stop now and go back to say it, say? Because Tarev Shein, Tarev, wait a minute. And he wasn't yet Yotzi the Yalav Yavoi because he didn't mention yet the Askaras Kedushin Sayyid. That's what the Shaila Sayyid writes. And right back right in Shabbatai has it in his Chuvas, and he has it in his Sefer Torah and on the Gemara. He has a life on the Gemara in Yuma. In the middle of Yuma, by the Zrikas HaKarbana, so the Gemara says Beferish, he quotes on Beferish Gemara. Even though there was a rule, Tadu Vishena Tadu Tadu Kaidim, and I started doing the Eina Tadu first, you have to drop it in the middle and go back to the original one. You have to go back to the same. And most of the Achranim disagree. They say the Gemara is talking about a different case. They say that we have another rule, Eima Vira Nala Mitzvahs. When a person is in the, I have the ability to do two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is over here. On this table there's a chleis dalet minyan, and over there there's a talis and tefillin. So if I'm already holding, I already have the mitzvah over here. So mitzvah boli yotchal tach mitzvah. That's eima vira nala mitzvahs. Learn that from that pasuk, eima vira nala mitzvahs. So first I'll do this mitzvah, and then I'll do, let's say, talis and tefillin we do all year long. Let's say, chalamay, the person wears talis and tefillin. Long red tefillin, whatever, he wears talis, okay. So the talis he wears every day of the year, he wears a talis. The dalet minyan only shakes on sukkahs. So he should really put on his talis before he shakes the if he has the talis there. Unless it's minigus, he wakes up in the sukkah, he sleeps in the sukkah, he wakes up in the morning and he shakes dalet minyan right away. Okay, so he's not holding by putting on a talis, better put on the talis and shul. The only time you say Torah Vishem, Torah means if he has an option of doing A or B, he has a prayer to do one or the other, so he say good Torah first. But he has no prayer, he's not going to wear his talis. He never puts on the talis at home. He has a talis and shul, he puts it on the shul, doesn't put it out at home. So then there's not an issue of Torah Vishem, Torah. So let's say over here. So the Achreim disagree with this Shagazai, they say, correct, Lechatchila, there is a rule, Torah Vishem and Torah Kodem. You should have first said Vitzei, and then said Yalav Yavroi. But if you started Yalav Yavroi, then you're holding in the middle of this mitzvah of Haskaras Rosh Chodesh. So to drop the Haskaras Rosh Chodesh, he didn't say Yom HaShach Chodesh Hazeh. He just said, Zichanein Afik Darein. And he can stop there, and it makes good sense. He's trying to make the Shem Shemayim Ratolek. He said, okay, I'm going to say Yalav Yavroi. He didn't say a sentence yet. So I'll say, Tov Zichanein Afik Darein. That's a nice sentence. So we say it's not right to drop this in the middle, go back to the same, and say then say Yalav Yavroi again. This is a violation of Eimav Yirin Ala Mitzvahs. So Eimav Yirin Ala Mitzvahs, in this case, takes precedence over the rule of Torah B'Shem and Torah Tarikoyim. That's a Machlekes Achrayim. The Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch quote this. The Chumash Agasai holds that you have to go back to the say, and most of the Achrayim disagree. We have this Shaila comes up in the following case. The Gemara talks about, the Gemara Megillah, the end of Megillah talks about Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Chodesh of Chanukah. On Rosh Chodesh normally... normally give four aliyahs, and you're laying a Parshas Pinchas, the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, and on Chanukah you give only three aliyahs. So on Rosh, that day, those day or days of Chanukah, sometimes one day of Rosh Chodesh, sometimes 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, so the day or days of Chanukah, which are Rosh Chodesh, so you're supposed to lay four aliyahs. So one opinion in the Gemara is, it doesn't make sense that the fourth aliyah should be Chanukah. Mitam Chanukah, there is no fourth aliyah. Chanukah only has three aliyahs. So the fourth aliyah is only because it's Rosh Chodesh, so the fourth aliyah has to be Rosh Chodesh. But you gotta learn Chanukah also. So you learn Chanukah first, and you learn Rosh Chodesh second. That's one opinion of Imam. You learn Chanukah first, you learn Rosh Chodesh second. Once you're learning Chanukah, so there's no Kriyas HaTorah less than three aliyahs. So you gotta, if you're learning Chanukah first, you gotta give three aliyahs Chanukah. So you give first on Rosh Chodesh of Chanukah on a weekday. So you give first three aliyahs for Chanukah, and then the fourth aliyah, you lay for Rosh Chodesh. That's the one opinion of the Gemara. Then the Gemara says we don't paskel like that. We paskel the other way. Ein mashgicha mishal Chanukah. You have to first lay Rosh Chodesh, and then you lay Chanukah afterwards. Why is that so? So the Gemara says because Torah b'shein etadir, Torah kaidim. Why is it Torah b'shein etadir? Because Rosh Chodesh is 12 times a year. And Chanukah is only once a year. Rosh Chodesh is 12 times a year. Half of the time it's 2 days, half of the time it's 1 day. So it's like 18 days in a year. Something like that. Rosh Hashanah. He's Rosh Chodesh, not Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Something like that. Chanukah is once a year, it's 8 days. So the Gemara assumes that that's called Tarim Hashem and Tarim Hashem. That Rosh Chodesh should come first. And once you're learning Rosh Chodesh, the Kriyas HaTorah has to be three aliyahs. If starting off with Rosh Chodesh, you don't give one aliyah. You never have a Kriyas HaTorah less than one. There's one Tana is of the opinion that on a Tainus Tzibah you only give one aliyah. Unless a Tainus Tzibah falls out on Monday and Thursday. Then Monday and Thursday you always need three aliyahs. But Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Bryce and McGill is of the opinion on a Tainus Tzibah you only give one aliyah, and that one aliyah means the Haftarah. Why is that so? Rav Soloveitchik can explain, because we don't pass like that, of course. We pass even if the Tainus Tzibah falls out, not on Sheni Mechamishi, then you never have Kriyas HaTorah less than three aliyahs. So where did Rabbi Yossi come up with such an info? So the Rav explained a very interesting, explained a lot of things with this. He said, because the Kriyas HaTorah on a tiny sea, but the main thing we're really interested in is the Haftarah, because the Haftarah comes from the Navi, and the Navi give Tochocha, they give Musa. So the main purpose of a tiny sea is to give the Tzibur Musa. So we really shouldn't learn any Kriyas HaTorah. What do we Kriyas HaTorah for? If it's not Sheni Mechamishi, just go to the Haftarah, read the Haftarah. But the Gemara has a rule, Hamafta Benovi Tzach Shikar Batorah Tchila. Whoever wants to learn the Tzibur from a Navi has to first get an aliyah from the Sefer Torah. They cover that Torah. People are going to think that the Navi is on the same level as the Sefer Torah. So we don't want anyone to think like that. So whoever gets the Maftir has to learn from the Sefer Torah also. So that's Reb Yossi's opinion. On a tiny Tzibur that's not a Sheni Mechamishi, there is no Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah, period. You don't need any Kriyas HaTorah. There was only a Takana Kriyas HaTorah. You should learn from the Navi, but you have no Brera. I'm after the Novi Tzav Shik Vator Tchila, so all you need is one aliyah.
But what if Thursday is only in the morning, not in the afternoon, when the main lady for Tainis, we're talking about the Haftarah in the afternoon.
Okay.
So that has nothing to do with Monday or Thursday.
Okay. So in the afternoon, the Rabbi Yossi holds, you'll only give one aliyah, even a Sheni Mechamishi? Good. Okay. Good. So we hold that there doesn't exist such a thing. There is no Kriyas HaTorah one aliyah. You have to have a minimum of three aliyahs. Sometimes you have four, five, six, seven, but you have to have a minimum of three. So once we pass, and the more paskins halacha Torah v'shem v'torah Torah kredim, you have to first lay Rosh Chodesh, because that's the Torah there. So you give three aliyahs b'shal Rosh Chodesh, and then the fourth aliyah is b'shal Chanukah. There's an interesting compromise in the Masech HaSofim, which nobody paskins like that. We don't accept like that halacha. The Masech HaSofim says it depends, is it the first day of Rosh Chodesh or the second day? You see, we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. The first day of Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos, the second day of Rosh Chodesh is Sunday. But let's say both days of Rosh Chodesh would be in the middle of the week. So the Masech HaSofim says there are two kinds of Rosh Chodesh. What is this Rosh Chodesh, 2 days of Rosh Chodesh? What is that animal all about? The first day of Rosh Chodesh. The first day of Rosh Chodesh really the 30th day of the previous month. It's a fake, it's not really Rosh Chodesh. Most of the Rishonim hold that the first day of Rosh Chodesh is only Midr Rabbanim. It doesn't exist on the level of the rice. And even the Rishonim would think, what is the first day of Rosh Chodesh all about? The real Rosh Chodesh is the second day. You can't, only Yom Tov, you can't start it from the second day. You don't count from the first day. So the first day of Rosh Chodesh is, it's after the Moilad of the Levana, but we have some reason or another why we want to make tomorrow Rosh Chodesh. We don't want to make the first day Rosh Chodesh. But for Tzavkosov, it's after the Moilad of Havana, so we declare the first day as Rosh Chodesh also. So most of the Rishonim hold it's only with the Rabbana. Even those Rishonim hold that the institution of having the first day Rosh Chodesh is Minat Torah, there was some Rishonim like that. Shilta Givorim, in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, on the side of the Rif, talks about this. The Rishonim, the Rabban and Sefer Mitzvahs about it. So even those Rishonim hold that the institution of the first day Rosh Chodesh is Minat Torah. So remember the Rav showed from the Kairos, there wouldn't be Karbonos HaMasofim. Karbonos HaMasofim is only on the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Why do we daven Musaf on the first day of Rosh Chodesh? Like with the Kasha. But the Pashtus is that the first day of Rosh Chodesh, even if it's Deraisa, is a different kind. The second day of Rosh Chodesh is the first day of the month. Let's talk of Rosh Chodesh. The first day has a Psalms of Kedushas Rosh Chodesh with the Nisa Hespit V'tainis, but it doesn't have the Kum Yasev HaKarbonos HaMasofim. It's not the first of the month. So the Masech HaSofim makes a Cheshvan like this. You have 12 times in the year you have Rosh Chodesh, as opposed to Chanukah comes once a year for 8 days. So on that day Rosh Chodesh, that is the first of the month, that you bring the Musafim, that's Torah B'Shein and Torah Torah Kedem. But the first day Rosh Chodesh is a different animal. That's only a Rosh Chodesh the Rabbanon, it's only a day the Rabbanon. So Chanukah is more Torah than that. So Chanukah should come first. The problem is that the Masech HaSofim has it the reverse. it doesn't read straight. And the first one said, they don't know what the words mean. It says, the second day of Rosh Chodesh, since you don't count from the second day of Rosh Chodesh, so you should learn Chanukah first, and then Rosh Chodesh comes second. The first day of Rosh Chodesh, that's the real Rosh Chodesh. You count from the first day of Rosh Chodesh to determine all the Yamitayim and everything. So the first day of Rosh Chodesh is the real bona fide, the real Rosh Chodesh, and then you say Torah Rosh Chodesh. Is the Fakir? Must be a misprint or something. The way it says the Masech Hazam doesn't make sense. Anyway, by the Shulchan Aruch, that compromise of the Masech Hazam is not mentioned. We don't pass like that. We pass them both on the first day of Rosh Chodesh, second day of Rosh Chodesh, like the Maskonas HaGemara. The first you learn Rosh Chodesh, the first three Aliyahs, and then you learn Mishal Chanukah. So the Ramah quotes the Navudram, but the Sayyid quotes this, and the Ramah quotes the Shiloh. In the yeshiva we have so many minyanim. We have around 30 minyanim in yeshiva. Everybody makes their own minyan. There's a Ashkenaz, there's a Sfar, everybody. So every year on Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, the Shiloh comes up in at least three minyanim, and each minyan passes the three different shitas, what to do. Each minyan does differently. So the Ramah has the following case from the Avudram. And Rosh Chodesh Chanukah you learn from two Sefer Torah. You have to take out one Sefer Torah to learn Parshas Chanukah. First you learn three Aliyahs Rosh Chodesh, and then the second Sefer Torah you learn Chanukah. So inevitably there's always going to be one or two or three minyanim in yeshiva, they're going to make a mistake. The Valkyrie is going to, they're going to start learning the first Aliyah, the Shal Chanukah. So the Shal is, what do you do? So you have the same machlekes that you have by Ritzei and Yalavi Yavah. In addition, you have over here in Achreinim in the Shulchan Aruch. So there are more quotes the Abu Dram that the Kohen said the bracha, and the Valkyrie looks into the Sefer Torah and he sees he's in the wrong place. He's standing, he's holding Parshas Chanukah, so he should stop where he is, and he should roll up the Sefer Torah, take the other Sefer Torah. First lay Rosh Chodesh, because the rule is Torah V'Sheni Torah Torah Kohen. But you're holding the Kohen that he said the bracha. You're going to make it into a bracha levatos. You're going to have to say a new bracha. Sorry, the deal is Torah V'Sheni Torah. Aye, but aim of you and Allah mitzvahs, but you're holding over here by this. Torah V'Sheni Torah takes precedence. That's what the Shagas Ari is asking. So there are more quotes, the Abu Dram says like the Shagas Ari. Then there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchas Krisa. That's in Hilchas Chanukah. The Ramah says like that. Then on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Lord of Yehuda has her always on the side that's called Bogdan Avraham. So he says, look in the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Krisa Torah. It's in the Kuf Mem that he disagrees with this Ramah. The Magen Avraham says, what do you mean? Ein Ma'aviru Ma'a Mitzvahs. If he didn't start laying anything yet, so then we have the rule Torah B'Shenu Torah Torah Kodem that determines that first he laying B'Shenu Torah Chodesh, three Aliyahs, and the fourth Aliyah Rishal Chanukah. But if you're holding now, the Kohen already said the bracha, and you're holding by this. Eim Avir and Ala Mitzvah, the first new Chanukah. Once you're doing Chanukah, you got to give three Aliyahs Bishal Chanukah. And when you give the fourth Aliyah, it's going to be Bishal Rosh Chodesh, like the other opinion in the Gemara. Normally we don't pass like that, but in this case, when he, by mistake, he started naming Bishal Chanukah, so you give the first Aliyahs Bishal Chanukah, and the fourth one will be Bishal Rosh Chodesh. And then there's a fourth, then there's a third opinion. Nishiv every year, the mistake happens. And all the three minyanim, when they make the mistake, they follow all the three. Each one follows a different opinion. Then there's a third opinion, is a gigantic taz in Hilchas Chanukah. He holds like the Magen Avraham, he holds like the Reiv Achreinim, that if he started Yalavi Yavoi in the benching, you didn't say Ritzei yet. And he started Yalavi Yavoi, say finish Yalavi Yavoi, and then you go back to Ritzei later, Ein Avir and Ala Mitzvah.
But he said if he could stop the minute after one pasuk, he can stop, no?
No, that's the machlekes. If he just says on the king, they say Yalavi Yavai, so no one holds that you stopped it. That's ridiculous. Finish the sentence. He says Yalavi Yavai Zichanenu Fidanenu. So should he stop here and go back to Ritzei and then go back to say Yavai? That's what the Shadasai says. And most of the Acharim say no. If he started, so finish. I just said if he already said the Yomar Shacharish Hazeh, so he did finish already. So no one's going to say you go back. He finished the whole Yalavi Yavai. No one's going to say you go back to Ritzei and repeat Yalavi Yavai. You ready to go to Yalavi Yavai? With that, Yochai Hashem on the table. He already mentioned the Yom already, so Imam is finished already.
Would make a difference if the first day goes first or the second day goes
first? We don't make the distinction. We don't follow that Masech HaSof. In the Shulchan Aruch, they don't mention that Masech HaSof at all. See, here there's a third opinion, and I'm sure there's going to be one of the 3 million where they're going to make the mistake, they're going to follow that opinion, that when you started laning by mistake, the Shulchanik, so we say, Eim Avir and Ala Mitzvahs, finish up at Chanukah. But why give three Aliyahs at Chanukah? We were supposed to give three Aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh and one Aliyah at Chanukah in that order. Three Aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh first, and secondly, one Aliyah of Shal Chanukah. We've already established in the Gemara that that's the Pesach. So by mistake, you start learning Shal Chanukah, so do one Aliyah of Shal Chanukah and three Aliyahs of Shal Rosh Chodesh. The other Achranim say, no, what are you talking about? If you started already with Chanukah, so there's no Kriyas HaTor, less than three Aliyahs. So you have to say three Aliyahs B'Shal Chanukah, and the fourth Aliyah B'Shal Rosh Chodesh. You have all the logical possibilities. And this is really totally Zeh B'Zeh. The Pashtun says that this Machlekes by the Kriyas HaTor on Rosh Chodesh of Chanukah. If by mistake the Baal Kori starts learning B'Shal Chanukah, so do you say you stop where you are and you take the second Sefer Torah and you do it the right way? Or do you say, no, you're already holding your hand, my dear anonymous, this Alpi Pashtus, this is identical with that Machlekes, the Shagasari, and all the other Achraim. I don't know why they don't relate it to, both in Shulchan Aruch, they should have, it's exactly the same Shaima. If the person started saying Yalav Yavah first, and then he didn't say Vitzay yet, so should he finish Yalav Yavah, say Vitzay second? Or do you say, no, you have to stop in the middle of the Yalav Yavah, go back to say Vitzay. That's exactly this Machlekes, but the Eim Avir and Ana Mitzvah takes precedence over Torah V'Shein and Torah Tadok Haidam on that.
By accident,
start reading the Chanukah, so
for
the cheaper
you have to
read three aliyahs of the Chanukah. Then you have to read more than you have to be Moses on the Chanukah waning, because there's not in the normal aliyah that you would give Chanukah only be one in the one Nasi.
You split it up.
A normal aliyah
gives
three aliyahs of Chanukah. On Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, we wouldn't have given three aliyahs. But every day, this morning and yesterday, we gave three aliyahs to Shal Chanukah. We split up that day, Ashkenaz, and we follow the Ramah. So we split up, let's say, today, the Yamashlishi. So we split up, the Kohen gets three Psukim and Mashlishi, the lady gets the next three Psukim, and the Shlishi gets Yom Arvi. And the Mechaber says, otherwise, Mechaber says, the Kohen gets first three Psukim and Mashlishi, the lady gets the next three Psukim, and the Shlishi lays over the whole Yamashlishi. He lays over the same thing that the first two.
So
the
Shadow is fine again.
Yeah.
Like this, yeah, the Shrek.
Yeah.
So the Chanukah Aliyah would only be that Nasi alone.
Yeah. And Shabbos Chanukah, yeah, for sure only that Nasi.
Right. But if you converted the order somehow, so...
Well, Shabbos Chanukah, what? You start learning Shabbos Chanukah first.
Instead of doing the...
Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, three Sfarim out there.
This guy in Shabbos, yeah. So no one's going to say that you already had three Aliyahs in the whole Parshas HaShavua. You had three Aliyahs. So then, if you're learning Chanukah, you just give one Aliyah B'Shal Chanukah. We're talking in the weekdays. Yeah. If Rosh Chodesh falls out in the weekdays on Chanukah, let's say this coming Sunday, for sure they're going to be minyan, they're going to make that mistake. They're going to start learning B'Shal Chanukah first. So then you have these three opinions, and sure enough, what are you supposed to do? How do you deal with that mistake?
It'd still be a shayla, even if you didn't make the brach by bringing out the Sefer Torah.
The first two aliyahs b'shal Rosh Chodesh, and the fourth aliyah b'shal Chanukah. So that's the psat. So the Gemara's notion is, hey, mashgicha b'shal Chanukah. Chanukah comes last. It doesn't come first. Hey, mashgicha b'shal Chanukah. So the Rishonim changed the notion, and maybe they had that use in the Gemara. Hey, mashgicha b'shal Chanukah kolikah. We don't care at all at that time. The notion of the Gemara, we don't care about Chanukah and Rosh Chodesh. It's more important Rosh Chodesh comes first. The aliyahs and Chanukah comes second. Hey, mashgicha b'shal Chanukah. We don't make a big tzimis. But the Rishonim had a different notion. Ein mashgicha b'shal Chanukah kolikah. We don't make a big tzimis. So the Mechaber quotes the following psak from the Abu Jam. Interesting. Everybody's quoting here from the Abu Jam. The Abu Jam quotes from Shuvah Sagreinim that the Shaila came up. It always comes up. They started learning from the wrong side of it. So he says, Rosh Chodesh falls out in the middle of Chanukah on a weekday. By mistake, they only took out one Sefer Torah and they laid four aliyahs to show Rosh Chodesh. What do you do? In the middle of learning the Shal Rosh Chodesh. So he said, forget about Chanukah. You only took out one Sefer Torah. You gave four aliyahs to talk. Hey, mashgicha b'shal Chanukah kolikah. You wait till without Chanukah. But what if they took out two Sefer Torah and they were going to follow the din? You're supposed to learn three aliyahs to Shal Rosh Chodesh and the fourth aliyah b'shal Chanukah. And the Baal Kori made a mistake and he gave four aliyahs to Shal Rosh Chodesh like he always do. And then he realizes, if he just realizes we forgot all about Chanukah, so he heard about Chanukah, but he took out a Sefer Torah. So he says, you got to make the Sefer? The Mechaber writes, you have to make the Sefer. If you take out a Sefer Torah, and it looks like you're going to lame, then you're not going to lame. So it looks like it's pendant. It looks like you're declaring that it's a possible Sefer Torah. The Gemara is very concerned about that. You're not allowed to do something that should indicate to Elu that a kosher Sefer Torah is possible. The Mechaber quotes from the Abu Jama, quotes from the Gemara, you have to make the Sefer. In that case, if they hadn't taken out a second Sefer Torah, you only took out one. And the late Mishalosh Kaddish, 4 years, goodbye. So, sure, you don't have to take out another Sefer Torah, the late Mishalosh Kaddish.
Why can't you just regret that's a Pashas Nasa and that's a Pashas
Nasa? Yes, that's so far.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Never show that.
I don't know. Maybe. I guess he assumes that it's a major difference that people. The Mechaber writes, the Gemara has a din, there's a Mishnah Yuma, that usually the same class that there is only with the Rabban. So the Gemara learns that from sitting on Yom Kippur, the Kangaroo who does the Aveda, all year long the Kangaroo can sit home. He doesn't have to be makir any kavanas. He pays for the Chavita Kangaroo that's offered twice a day every day. Machzisa Babreka, Machzisa Boera, the Minchas Chavita, but he doesn't have to be makir of it. He can have a Kohen Hedget be makir of it. He's the Balak of it. He pays for it. But on Yom Kippur, you need Dafka, the Aveda should be done Dafka by Kangaroo. That's the only time. Even on Parshas Vayikra, it says by Parham and Davishol Tzibur, it says the Kangaroo does it, and Rashi writes on the Mishnah in Mishnah Megillah, you need a Kangaroo, like it says in the Chumash. So Tyson says it's not true. Even though it says Kangaroo, the Torah's Kanan learns out from the Rebbe that you don't need a Kangaroo. A Pasuk of Chumash, Torah's Kanan says that it's not so. We don't pass like that Pasuk. The Kohen Hedget to me, Makos and also. It says also, that a regular Jew is Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he brings Kifa or Thira. If one who does an Aver, she hates the Kavis, he did the Aver B'Shogeg, he has to bring Kifa or Thira. That's called the Chatas Kfuah, Kifa or Thira. If the Kangaroo is Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he eats Chayla Medan B'Shogeg, whatever, and he's a Kavis, he doesn't bring Kifa or Thira, he has to bring a Par Kangaroo. So it says over there also, the Kangaroo is Makar of the Par Kangaroo. So this is quotes from the same Torah's Kohanim as Labdak. He doesn't have to, he has to pay for it from his pocket. He's the Balakot, but he doesn't have to do the Aveda. The one and only time you need a Kangaroo is only on Yom Kippur. The Aveda is not kosher if it's done by Kohen Hedget.
Did you write,
did you
have a feeling
that
you
write the Kangaroo
also, or
did you write one? For sure, Midarai, so the question is that they bring Kavit Talmud also on Yom Kippur.
The rest of the
and you bring Mustafim on Yom Kippur. So you need a Kangaroo for that also. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ritva. That's an unusual thing. The Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam usually never quotes the Ritva. He quotes the Ritva and the state of Eretz Yom Kippur. The Ritva rumor says he thinks that may only be with the Rabbanim. You need a Kangaroo with the Raisa for Eretz Yom Kippur, that's in Parshas Achrei Mos. But the Musafim, that's in Parshas Pinchas, that's not really related to the Eretz Yom Kippur. And the Tmidim that you bring every day of the year, he says that it could not be that for that you don't need a Kangaroo. That's a big machlokes of Hashem. Some Hashem hold explicitly, you do need a Kangaroo, even for Minatera. With the Rabbanah, for sure, the Mishnah said the Kangaroo does everything. But the Shem is it Minatera. So some Hashem say Minatera need a Kangaroo for all the Avedas on Yom Kippur. And the Ritva says a lot of it is only with the Rabbanah. But you need a Kangaroo on Yom Kippur. No one else can do it. So the Gemara learns that in Yuma, and that the Gemara learns that from the Pesach. But in addition to the Kangaroo doing the Hakrabas HaKabonis on Yom Kippur, he has to recite the Kriyas HaTorah D'Oraisa, he has to recite those Pesukim and Achrei Mos that talk about the Avedas that he just did. Special dinim is a Mishnah in Seita, and Perek Elam Namar, the Mishnah discusses which mitzvahs of Amira can only be fulfilled in Hebrew, which can be fulfilled in other languages. So if a person doesn't know Hebrew, so he can dab it in English, he can say Shemon Esri in English, he can say Kiddush and Abdullah in English, he can Kriya Shema Zemach Legis Atanam, we pass him if he says in a correct translation, he can recite Kriya Shema in English, Chalitza, you have to recite the Pesukim in the original Hebrew. A Kohen wants to duchen, he does know Hebrew, he can't duchen in English, you have to say Dabke, the Mishnah says, we learn that from Pesukim, certain mitzvahs of Amir have to be recited Dabke in the original Hebrew.
Bikurim. That's why they had a sign up on top, because people do not have a sign.
But Bikurim has to be in the original Hebrew.
I believe so.
Okay, probably. Sounds correct. So the Mishnah says that a person gets an aliyah all year long, if he doesn't know Hebrew, he can say the bracha in English, in Yiddish, whatever language you understand. Kagan la Yom Kippur, when he says the brachas on Yom Kippur, it's a special din kriyas hater, has to say the brachas in the original Hebrew. It's a special din kriyas hater. It's a different kind of a din. It's a kriyas atayah that comes in conjunction with the hakrabas hakabonas on Yom Kippur. Special din. So the Mishnah says in Yom Kippur, the Tzangana has to recite one man getting, you don't get any more aliyas, no haitzotas, only one person, and he learns three different sections. And it says that he learns Achrei Mais, then he learns where else does he learn? Achda Asa is in Chumash Apkurim, no? So in Achrei Mais and Emor, he rolls the Sefer Torah. So those three he learns the Torah Hakstaf and the Sefer Torah. You have to start rolling from Emor to Emor to Tincha, so that's not covered at Tzibur, that's Tincha to Tzibur, to hold everybody ready. So he rolls up the Sefer Torah, and then he recites the rest of Peh. And he has to make a declaration, Yesem Rashi Karatsu Bechnechem Kasuv Kan. He says that Parshas Pinchas is here, also in the Sefer Torah. You shouldn't think it's a puzzle in the Sefer Torah, it's kosher. It has Parshas Pinchas, but I don't want to roll there because of Kavod HaTzibur. So the Gemara says, but usually you're not allowed to lay in Baal Peh. So why do we commit the Kengon of the laying Parshas Pinchas Baal Peh? So the Gemara says, what would be the alternative? We should get another Sefer Torah. We have sometimes we lay from two Sefer Torah, sometimes lay from three Sefer Torah. In Shabbos we lay from three Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says that's if two different people are getting the aliyahs, two or three different people are getting the aliyahs. But on Yom Kippur, there's only one Kohen Gadol who gets all the, he lays everything. So if you're going to have him lay from two different Sefer Torah, the impression conveyed may be that the first Sefer Torah was possible, and then he had to try, even though he's laying something different, a lot of people will walk away with the mistaken impression that the first Sefer Torah was possible. So Mishum Pegom Mishal Rishon, we don't allow that. Pegom Mishal Sefer Torah Rishon. So that's such a serious consideration. That's why that Rav Drum quoted this tshuva. That if you took out two Sefer Torah, Daifet the lane, where Rosh Chodesh falls out on the weekday. Took out two, Daifet the lane, three Aliyahs, Bishal Rosh Chodesh, and the fourth Aliyah, Bishal Chanukah. And then by mistake, you named all four Aliyahs like a regular Rosh Chodesh. So you can't call it quits. You have to make all yourself. You have to give a fifth Aliyah, even if people are running to work. You have to make sure you have a minyan left. You have to lay a fifth aliyah. Mishum to gamash al sefer. You took out a sefer al das pamein, and people are going to see you took it out and put it back, and you didn't lay. So there's going to be achshash. It looks as if that sefer was possible. So that's what the Gemara distinguishes. There's that you can't have the same person laying from two different sides, because it looks as if there was something wrong with the first sefer Torah. So that's why we allow the Kengana to recite the kriya from Pinchas Baal Peh. But if you have two different people laying from the two, when Rosh Chodesh falls out in the middle of the week, or on Shabbos Chanukah Rosh Chodesh, when you have three Sefer Torah, so then that's not a problem. If you have three different people getting three different aliyahs from three different slurim, so it doesn't look as if there was something wrong with the first Sefer Torah. We would have had the same person laying something over if there would have been something wrong with the first Sefer Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this din. Remember that the Megillah has this din. That Rosh Chodesh Tavis falls out on Shabbos, you have to Matzim Gimel Svarim, and then the Shulchan Aruch tells you the Seder of the Kriyas. So it says he gives six Aliyahs in the Parshas HaShavua. This week is Miketz, no? Yeah. He gives six Aliyahs in Miketz, and then you give one Aliyah the Shabbos Chodesh, and then you give the last, then you say Chatzi Kaddish, and then you give the Mafter Lein the Shalchanik, and he says the Haftar of Shabbos Chanukah. So what does it mean you give six Aliyahs in Miketz and you stop at Shvi? No. It means you give six aliyahs and you go,
Shishi
goes all the way to the end. Shishi Shvi goes together, yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Tachronim, it means you have to give at least six aliyahs. You want to give seven aliyahs, you want to make those offers? Isn't bad, you can make one of those offers you want, but you have to lay at least six aliyahs. Because you're only going to lay one aliyah b'shal Rosh Chodesh, one aliyah b'shal Chanukah, so you have to have seven aliyahs, and then the mafter is going to be, we are machmer like that thing, the mafter is ain't oil in the minyan akrut. Where has a machlekes amaroim? Is mafter one of the seven aliyahs on Shabbos, and sachako he gives seven aliyahs, or mafter is ain't oil in the minyan akrut. So Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, but since it's a machlekes, so we go to Chumah, so we always make another hisofer. Why not? So we always make on Yom Tif, instead of giving five aliyahs, we give five plus mafter. And on Yom Kippur, we give six plus mafter. And then on Shabbos, we give seven plus mafter. So that's right, because if you want to, you can make chaysofers on Shabbos and on Yom Tif and on Yom Kippur if you want to. In Shulchan Aruch, where Machmud is an opinion, you're only permitted to run in the Gila and the Mishnah, you're only permitted to make chaysofers on Shabbos. You're going to make chaysofer on Yom Tif. You're going to give Yom Tov six aliyahs. You're going to think Yom Tov is as important as Yom Kippur. So So that's a beginner in the covenant of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you're going to give seven aliyahs, you're going to give too much chashivas to Yom Kippur as if Yom Kippur is as important as Shabbos. Shabbos is on top. Shabbos has the highest number of aliyahs, so then you're allowed to make high sofas. But on a Yom Kippur, on a Yom Kippur, you're not permitted to make any high sofas. So Rabbi Ritam does not hold like that. Mikra Adin, they don't hold like that. We do it all the time on Simchas Torah. We make high sofas. We make way more than five aliyahs on Simchas Torah. So all year long, also the same is true. And any Yom Kippur around Yom Kippur, strictly speaking, you're permitted to make high sofas. That's what Rabbi Ritam says. We always make high sofas. The fact that we give five aliyahs on Yom Kippur plus Maftir, that's an any high sofas. So why do we do it? Why do we dafka make high sofas? Because there's one thing in the Gemara, Megillah, the Maftir is not over the Megillah, Kuh, and Maftir has to be separate. Even though we don't really pass it like that, the Haraya, because on a Tainus Tzibur,
Yom Kippur Mincha, is the fair Aliyah, is the
Maftir. Like any Tainus is like that. Well, you're not allowed to make, everybody means you're not allowed to make thyself a Yom Kippur to Mincha, or on a Tainus Tzibur. You're not permitted to make thyself is, so then we don't give three in one. Going to the other two, you should make three in one. So we only give three Aliyahs, and the third one is Maftir. So that shows Mikra, then we really pass him. Maftir is over the Mincha Akruim. So the fact that on a regular Yom Kippur, a regular Shabbos, we give 5 plus Maftir, 6 plus Maftir, 7 plus Maftir, that's Luchumit to satisfy the other opinion, who's really not the accepted opinion. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. He says, the Mechaber says he gives 6 aliyahs in the Parshas Miketz, and the 7th aliyah is Shavash Chodesh, and then you say Chatzi Kaddish, and then the Maftir is Bishol Chanukah. So he says it means you give at least 6 aliyahs. If you want to make high sofas, you can get 15 aliyahs in the Parshas Miketz. That's how the Mishnah Berurah says. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that others disagree. Shlomo Lazone has in his Tshuvas in the Dinya Shlomo, he thinks that that's not the Pshat in the Mechaber. Rav Soloveitchik said he thought also that that wasn't the Pshat in the Mechaber. He said you get the impression that on this occasion when you have 3 Sifrei Torah, you're not allowed to make any high sofas in the Parshas HaShavuah. The Kaplan have to should be brought to their attention. The Rabbanim should decide whether they want to pass the like the Mishnah Berurah or they want to pass the like of Shlomo Levin. Not allowed to make those sofas. Why? So that's what Rachik explained. If you have Rosh Chodesh Holi as the Shabbos, so you can make as many, let's say, it wouldn't have been Chanukah. Just your main Parshas HaShavuah, you can get 15 aliyahs in Miketz. And then the Kriya of Rosh Chodesh is going to be Maftir. So Maftir has a Hal Hashem. This is the Kriya of Maftir. But here, the Maftir is going to be B'Shal Chanukah. So Rosh Chodesh is just going to be a High Sofer. The Kriya of Rosh Chodesh is just going to be a High Sofer. You already gave Shiva Kriyim in the Parshas HaShavuah. B'Shal Chanukah is going to be labeled as Maftir. And Rosh Chodesh is just going to be a High Sofer. So they had the Mashmos of the Shulchan Aruch is that you can't do that. The Kriya of Rosh Chodesh has to be either from the Zayin Kruin, has to have the cover of being one of the original Zayin Kruin, or it has to be their Maftir. But if it's neither here nor there, just a Haisafah, you insert a Haisafah in the middle, so then you're not yet say the Chiyuv that you have to have the Kriya of Parshas Rosh Chodesh. So that's why these opinions insist that the Gaboim should see to it that they only give 6 aliyahs in Parshas Miketz, no Haisafahs, 6, no Achrams or anything, only 6 aliyahs. And then the 7th aliyah should be Yishal Rosh Chodesh, and then the Maftir should be Bishal Chanukah. Not really, Shvi. If it would be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, not Chanukah, so you can give all aliyahs you want, and then Rosh Chodesh is going to be Maftir. So has a Chal Hashem, Maftir. But this week, the Maftir is going to be Chanukah. So if Rosh Chodesh is going to be called Achron or something other than the Zayin Kruim, so it has no Chal Hashem up he did.
So Shishi
is called Achron. No, you call him Shishi? You call him Yamal Shishi? Shishi. No Achron, yeah. You usually call Achron when it's a Haisafah, when it's more than the Zayin
Kruim.
Yeah, the last one of the Parshas Shavuot, if it's HaYisofah. If it's not HaYisofah, you call him Shvi? You don't call him Achron. Yeah.
You call him first time he's
gone through.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Is it the same level here? If some Rishonim say that the Chiyah of the Ritva has like this, and the Bach says that it's all like this, but that knows the Ritva. they think that the Chiyuv Kriyas Atar on Shabbos and Yom Tov is Daraisa. That's part of the mitzvah of Shabbos, that you have to do something on Shabbos and Yom Tov to make the day into an unusual day. The Ramban HaChumash says that Mikra Kodesh, the Ramban says Mikra Kodesh, the word Mikra comes from the Lashon Kriy HaEdo, that has to be a day of holy assemblage. We should gather together for Talmud Torah B'Tzibur and Tzula B'Tzibur. The Ramban holds Tzula B'Chol Yom is only the Rabbanon, not like the Ramban, Tzula B'Chol Yom is only the Rabbanon, but Tzula B'Tzibur and Shabbos Yom Tov is their Isis. And he holds that Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, Ramban HaChumash and more. Sounds like Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur and Shabbos Yom Tov is their Isis. Rosh Chodesh is not really called Mikra Chodesh. The Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah Rosh Chodesh is really only the Rabbanon. That's not the matter.
Normally when you have a Shiva Kriyas, it's from the Sefer itself. You're going outside. You're going, Rosh Chodesh becomes more like an Asabah, technically, because it's not part of the seven Kriyas of the Sefer.
So you make it one of the seven Kriyas.
I mean, so it's a big difference.
That's why you say you shouldn't make a Asabah.
You shouldn't give more than...
I understand, but you're adding something which you're making the seven. You're really not part of the seventh
when
the normal event of the seventh.
Normal is not, Shabbos is not the Rosh Chodesh. So normally we have the Zayin Kruvimus and the Parshas HaShavuah. But when it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and then we're Makhdid, then a regular Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, so the Kriya Rosh Chodesh will be labeled as Makhdid. So that it has a special title to it. But if the Makhdid is going to have to be the Shalchanikah, and then the Rosh Chodesh is not going to be labeled anything, it's just the Hesefer, so there's a Mashmois and the Shulchanot, but that's not right. But you have to make sure that the Shavu'ah Rosh Chodesh should be the one of the Zayin Kruvim.
Let's not make a mistake that they read the second Sefer, they read from Hanukkah after Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah.
And then read from the third, then they have to read Rosh Chodesh. The third Sefer, and then they read the Torah from Rosh Chodesh.
The Pashtus is, the Kriyas HaTorah should be always connected with the, if you have two Sefer Torah, so the HaTorah always picks up the theme of the second. Yeah. If you have two, let's say the name Truman Tetzava, the name Bayakot Tikude. So the Truman Hagim and the Abu Jam, where they learn the Haftarah of the first Parsha, the Haftarah of the second Parsha. The common practice is that you learn the Haftarah of the second Parsha. But that's not really the same. When you learn two together, Bayakot Tikude, we treat it as if it's one Parsha. We connect Ravi with Mechaba, you learn 3.5 Aliyahs and 1.5. So really, it should really be optional, but they want to say the Haftarah of the first Parsha, the Haftarah of the second Parsha. It's one long parsha now, that if you have two different svarim, and then one safety you lay in Mishal Chanukah, Shvi you lay in Mishal Chanukah, and then Mafti you lay in Mishal Rosh Chodesh because you made a mistake, then the Halacha says you have to, the Haftarah has to be connected with the Kriya that you did in the last Sefer Torah. So if you have two or three different Sefer Torah, the Kriya has to, so you can't lay in Gani Vesibchit. You have to lay in the Kriya for the Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh if you make such a mistake. In the Gemara there is a din that if Misha Madlika Mala Betok Beisal, if they're being Madlika in my home, I am not required to light my own menorah, unless I want to be Mekayim Mahadri Melech Alechad V'yechad. But Misha Adin, I'm lighting with my wife's Hadlaka. So many of the contemporary Paschim, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, and Moshe Feinstein has like this, and many others, they have. The children are learning in Eretz Yisrael for a year or two or three or five, and the parents live in Los Angeles, Hawaii, whatever. Mom is the other side of the world, with night is day, with day is night. So Rabbi Avadya says it does make a difference. Malik and Malik Betok Beisa, even though he's nowhere near his family, he's yet to be the Halakha Betok Beisa. Moshe also says that, but he tones it down a little bit. Moshe says if the husband, the wife lives and the family lives in New York, and the husband is on a business trip in California, that the wife lit the menorah at home at 5 o'clock at night.
It's 2 o'clock in California,
it's too early, so then the husband is not yotzei. But if the wife or family lives in California, and the husband is on a business trip in New York, so the wife is going to light 5 o'clock in California, so that's 8 o'clock in New York, so then the relationship is very hard yotzei. But basically, he's masking with Baba Vadi, so he just tones it down a little bit. If the children are there and the parents live in Australia, so night is day, day is night, so Ramesh holds it's no good, Chacham Avadya holds that it is good. It's questionable, the whole thing, whether this is really so. The Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, when they're talking about a guy who's traveling around, he's not from the other hemisphere of the world. He's out of town or something, he's in the vicinity. I think it has to be more than the same time zone. But it should be, I should be mitzvahed to a different location. The halacha says, Hadlokas Ameh has to be the Beisel. So you say, even though I'm not home, Basically, that's basic. Where do you find such a din? I relate to a different location, and that's not basic. So the original din of Chumash is by Korban Pesach. There's a din of Derech Rechoika versus Derech Kreva. Whoever is the Derech Rechoika has to bring Pesach Sheni. Even if they're going to have him in mind, he's going to fly in with a jet. He's not going to Pesach. Derech Rechoika is no good. You can't participate in Pesach Rishon. So what's the definition of Derech Kreva, Derech Rechoika? So the Tanaim and the Mishnah have a machlokes. The Rashi HaFumish quotes the opinion that's not accepted by the Rashi quotes the opinion Chut Las Kufas HaAzorah. Those are they're in the Yir Atika. They're famish in Yerushalayim. They're not in the Azorah. That's Derech Rechoika. We don't ask like that. Rashi quoted HaFumish just Rashi doesn't always quote the accepted opinion of HaFumish. But the way we pass the Halacha, the Rambam and all that, we should understand like the Mishnah, the Jewish circle of Al Yerushalayim, Min HaMadim, happens to be that for the Chashmona, lived in Madim, it's no connection. Min HaMadim and Lefnim, Madim is 15 mil away from Yerushalayim. So Jewish circle, the radius of which is 15 mil, and Madim is going to be on the circle. So all of the people who are traveling to be on the regal to come to Yerushalayim for Pesach, if they're within that radius, within that circle, and they can reach Yerushalayim by an average walking. If they go by horseback, they'll come in much less. They'll come in half an hour. But yeah, the Gemara says we measure by how long it would take to walk. So the Gemara makes a cheshbon, a whole complicated cheshbon. How long does it take for an Adam Beinoni to walk how much of a distance in the course of the day? So the Gemara says the way most of the Rishonim ben pshat, the obligation to bring Korban Pesach only begins at Chatzos, not before Chatzos. You can't bring the Korban Pesach after Shkia. So the ability to come to Yerushalayim, if the person is, we determine this din at Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Where are you at Chatzos? The Rambam has a different sheet, complicated, but most of the Rishonim men, where are you at Chatzos? When the Chiyuv Korban Pesach is out. If you're within that circle, and you can walk to Yerushalayim by foot, with an average way, even though you have a broken leg and you're not walking at all, but the halacha was nikva, it depends by an average person walking, Adam Beinoni walking. So if you'll be able to reach Yerushalayim, then it's called Derech Kreva, so you relate to that moment. So there's a din in the Gemara, my cotton. We have it a lot of times by us, incorrectly observed we had. We had a din in the Gemara, someone died, had no telephones, had no fax machines, no telegrams. And one of the relatives does not know that someone died. And he's coming to visit his parents, and he walks into the house, and he sees everybody sitting on the floor, they're all sitting shiva. He said, what happened? And he said, the father just died, and the last day of shiva. So the Gemara says, it depends, where did he come from? If he came from a makam korai, money mine. So he just finishes the shiva with them, and that's it. But if he came from a makam rochai, money only asks, but has to count his own shiva. But yes, most of the poskim hold, most of the poskim hold, the whole thing never applies. So we have a lot of times, someone goes to Eretz Yisrael with the Oren, and then he comes back, and then they say, well, since in the middle of Shiva, so he gets up with them. Even though he started Shiva late, he gets up earlier. So most of the Poskim say that that's not correct. That din only applies if the whole Yediyas HaMisa, okay, he comes into the base of Israel, and he finds out that someone died. But if he already knew, then everybody called up on the telephone, everybody knows that he died. And he started Shiva a day or two later, because he went to Eretz Yisrael with the Oren. So he started later, so he finished later. Was it up if he come back over here? Most of the Poskim know that it doesn't apply in this case. So I'll come part of that din.
Let me say the Bai is the head of a household where he sits Shiva, that's where it comes.
The Gemara says that's another condition. It's only money in mind if the Godel Shabbat bias is there.
Would that also, if I went with the Oren and my father was sitting Shiva at his house, and I come back, that doesn't count? In other words, do I still have to sit complete Shiva by myself?
Yeah.
The Godel Abayas already started sitting Shiva from the time of the Levaya.
Yeah.
And I went with the Oren.
Yeah. So you started counting your own Shiva, so you started...
Even though I'm going back to the house thing. Where the Godel Abayas is sitting.
That's how many, most of the Poskim assume like that, but the whole thing never applies this man as well. Mamshik even has a shayla. The fella came to visit his parents. He got off the train station in a little village, and his way walking from the train station to his parents' home, they told him that the father died. So he found out 2 minutes before. He would have found out in the Beis HaAvel. He would have been my name wife. He would just finish up the shiva with that. But they told him on his way from that someone good Samaritan did him a favor. He told him on his way. So after a shayla, he says that he counts his own shiva. It's only if he became aware of the Yediyas HaMisa in the Beis HaAvel. So that din in the Gemara has to be only God. It's a whole bunch of conditions. So one of the conditions is, he's only mitzvah for the Beis HaAvel, either he came from a different location, if it's Mimokim Korov. Bobby Mokim Rochek is no good. What's the Shia of Mokim Rochek, Mokim Korov? So Tosis quotes from the Bala Alochas Gedolos, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, 10 parsois. Where do you get from 10 parsois? So the Rif quotes the whole sentence from the Bala Alochas Gedolos. Tosis only quotes the half a sentence. The Rif quotes the whole paragraph from the Bala Alochas Gedolos. It's based on a din of Derech Rechaik and Derech Kreiva. That din by Korban Pesach is not a unique din only in Hilchas Korban Pesach. It's a din whenever a person is over here, you want him to be considered as relating to a different location. I'm 14 mil away from Yerushalayim. We want to say that that's my mokum. I'm on my way to Yerushalayim. Is it considered my mokum or not? So if I'm close enough that I can reach there in a half a day, thereby Korban Pesach, you measure a half a day. Because the chiyuv to bring Korban Pesach begins at Chashoyis, and you can't bring it after Shkia. So you have to figure out how long can he travel, how long can he walk by foot, how far can he get by foot until we say 15 mil. But by Avelus, the Bahak says, you go by how the person has to be within one day's distance, and that Gemara Mesach, when they make the calculation of Derech Hecheka, the Gemara says, Nahal Chodim Beinini Bayon, Asara Parsoas Bayon. A normal person who wants to walk, he doesn't walk all day, and all night is going to collapse. So he walks the distance of Asara Parsoas and he calls it quits. So that's what the Bahak got from that Gemara. That if you're a Mokum Korev, means if you're within one day's travel, walking by foot, then you relate to that place. So the Shah is here. By Hadlokas, there is Chanukah. Yetzi, but the Hadlokah, my wife says, the Basie, because that's called Basie. Yeah, but where am I? I'm in Eretz Yisrael, my wife lives in California, and that's called Basie. So there has to be some proximity. If I'm close enough that I could get there within one day's travel. Yeah, but Mechorah, it should be like Korban Pesach, that you don't take the traveling all day long. You don't like Neres Chanukah all day long. You only like Neres Chanukah from the Shkia till the middle of the night or something. I don't know, till midnight or something. So how far could a person get if he would be walking by foot that amount of time? So if he's within that proximity, so then he's been started his bike. But he's at the other side of the United States, or the other hemisphere. So it's highly questionable whether he's been started to the other location. How can we say that's called Beis, or that's called the Hadlokah of the Beis? The Pashtus says that it's not. Pashtus says that Halokah is limited only to the case where he's near the home, either he plans to sleep at home tonight, or he's close enough that if he would want to, he'd be able to walk home. You see, so by Avelis in Europe, they had when they invented trains, so they had a big machlokes. What's going to be as best for Dan as Mashiach Bet Kumen? Are we still going to stick to the Shia Men Amadim and Lefnim for 15 mil? The Gemara says you can go a much further distance if you go horseback. You can go further. So why did the Chachamim establish that the Shia of Derech Rechoika, Derech Kreiva, depends on 15 mil? So the Gemara said because that's how far an average person is walking by foot, that's how far he would get. So the Shah is, why did they say, is that a halacha in Moshe Messina? That it depends on how far a person can get walking by foot? Or maybe the halacha was established because the average traveler would go by foot. Most of the people would not go by horseback or by horse and buggy. Most of the people would walk by foot, the pilgrims. But maybe if you live in a generation where they have trains or automobiles or buses, so maybe it depends on how well people go. So this was a big machlokes. The Tshuva Rahava, that's a Talmud of the Navi Yehuda, had a machlekes, but the other Gedolim in the middle of the 1700s had all machlekes. They said they don't know what the din is going to be as Mashiach let come in, let Mashiach pass in the Shaila. But it's a legitimate machlekes, and Hilchas Avelis, we say halachic did Amekel Ba'avel. So even though he's way more than 15 mil away, if he's able to reach there with one day's travel, so then we say, by Hilchas Avelis, it's called Mokum Korev. So half the world is still called Mokum Korev. You can reach in one day's traveling, unless it's a place in South Africa, it's 18 hours at Australia to New York, is 21 hours or something like that. But if you're within a distance that you can reach there in 12 hours of traveling. So that's one day's traveling. So that's average, you know, people don't travel, we do travel day and night. But the Gemara seems to say, you see how long one can travel, sort of 10, 12 hours of traveling, not traveling straight to 21 hours. So by Avelis, the person decided, how long did I make a bother? Whenever there's a legitimate sheeta who says Lahokel, so we go to Lahokel. So we're not sure what the din really is going to be by Korban Pesach. We're Mosa Mashiach. Will we say that the shear for Derech Rechoika changed because it depends on the average traveler. The average traveler is probably not going to go by foot as Mashiach, but he's going to travel by train or by bus or something, or by plane. But as far as Hilchos Avos is concerned, so they will make. When it comes to Neiros Chanukah, though, Mechayit should be along these lines somehow. It shouldn't be so far from Australia to Eretz Yisrael. Should also be considered based up. Mechayit should have to tone it down a little bit. That's what I thought. Okay. Afiyah Lechayit Chanukah. Yes.